Hi, I'm Vivian, and we are CDSF 90.1 FM, and I'm here today with Jen Marchbank to talk about the International Women's March that happened yesterday, so March 5th, at the Art Gallery in Vancouver. So do you want to introduce yourself for those who don't know you first?
My name is Jen Marchbank. I am a professor in the Department of Gender, Sexuality and Women's Studies.
Yeah, thank you for introducing. And I heard that you were a speaker at the International Women's Day March yesterday. So how was the experience of being a speaker at this march?
It was a great experience. It was a rally for a couple of hours with many, many speakers. There was people talking there about the plight of women in Afghanistan and various other parts of the world. After our speeches, there was a march around the Vancouver Art Gallery and surrounds that was pretty well attended and very peaceful, very loud and jolly, and a great celebration.
Mm-hmm.
But also a day of reminding ourselves about people less fortunate than ourselves in other parts of the world and of the struggles that we still have here in Canada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so important. And how did you get involved into this march? Because it's such an important role to speak on such a march.
The event was planned by graduate and undergraduate students from the department. So one of the organisers has been my student many times, and she and I have worked on several projects, and so she asked if I would speak because she knows what kind of work I do, both in the community and academically.
And about what did you speak at the march?
Well, I spoke about the need for us to be aware of still gender-based violence, and gave some examples of gender-based violence and how that affects women and anybody who really fits under the rainbow umbrella. I then spoke about some of the work that I do on queer youth and queer seniors. I'm currently involved with Drs. Gutman and Robson and Michaela Prentice on a project called the Indigo Project, which is about elder abuse, queer elder abuse. So I spoke a little bit about that, and I also spoke a little bit about a Rainbow Refugee Circle of Hope that we were collecting money for there. This is a Circle of Hope called the Rainbow Bridge, and they are working to raise funds to support two Afghan women, one of whom is queer, and their family to come to Canada. They're currently in a different country. They've managed to escape Afghanistan because they are activists, and those women are under threat from the Taliban.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting and so important that you talked about many different fields, especially. And you're also an expert in the field of domestic violence and elder abuse, as Ray said. So do you see a change already, and where do you see improvement when we talk about gender-based violence and how women are treated right now in the world?
Well, I've been involved with campaigning against gender-based violence since the 80s in Scotland, and I have seen that there is now from wonderful awareness campaigns such as the Zero Tolerance campaign, which began in Edinburgh, and there has been a massive amount of greater awareness. However, I'm very much involved with the Surrey-based group Network to Eliminate Violence in Relationships, and through that, I'm aware that, there's still a lot of work to be done, both to raise awareness and to ensure the services and provisions are there. And so we just have to keep pushing. And, this is not just about gender-based violence with NIVER. It's about violence against children, seniors, in relationships, outside of them, dating violence, etc. I also spoke a little bit about what people could actually do to help, which would be to, follow campaigns by, say, the Ending Violence Association of BC. I spoke about the Indigenous male-led Moose Hide campaign and pointed out where people could go to get further information and maybe even some training so that they could become community champions and raise awareness in their own communities.
Mm-hmm. So what can people do beyond International Women's Day?
Well, one of the things that I spoke about was about diverting it. If you're travelling, say, on SkyTrain or something, and you see someone being very uncomfortable, maybe they're getting unwanted attention, there are ways to intervene. You can go up and ask someone, like, hey, what's the time? Or as I said to them, you know, I'm old enough to be just about everybody's mom, so come up and say, hi, mom, haven't seen you for a while, and I'll go certainly play along with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just ways of being able to intervene that doesn't cause further escalation or that doesn't endanger the intervention either.
Yeah, definitely. And also, like, when also educating yourself and, yeah, informing what is going on right now in the world and how you can support your communities around you. And could you shortly explain also, like, what's behind International Women's Day? Because it's so important that we continue talking about the International Women's Day and what we can do to help the female community. So could you shortly explain what the whole day is about?
The history of International Women's Day can be said by some to go back to 1909, when a group of women workers had a strike march in New York. So that was kind of establishing that. But it wasn't until 1975 that United Nations declared March 8th as the official International Women's Day. And that was at the beginning of the United Nations Decade for Women. So that was when we first got, you know, international recognition of the day. And I think it's so vitally important. You know, even for a simple thing, like to remember that here in Canada, we still have a gender pay gap. You know, that mm-hmm. still means that people are living under situations which are not optimal.
Yeah, definitely. So true. And that's also, like, it is so important to, like, make the people aware of the problems that we still have and that there is so much room to improvement. So do you think that the march will cause something, so that there will be a movement somehow, or that you reached something yesterday?
Well, you know, from what was being obvious yesterday from all the different speakers, is that this isn't a singular movement. There are plenty of people working on various different projects and campaigns and providing services. You know, one woman spoke about, you know, reproductive rights and, you know, how we need to continue to protect those. When we are not a singular movement, it's not recognition that, you know, it's not claiming that yesterday was the beginning of anything. It's a continuation of all, you know, over 100 years of history of women organizing together. With
yeah.
male support. I also wanted to make the point yesterday that, you know, this isn't just about women, but today, that day, today, March 8th, is to celebrate women. But, you know, women are a broad category. I included mm-hmm. in my speech non-binary folks, mm-hmm. trans folks, gender fluid folks, because unfortunately, those people are also the targets of gender-based violence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. And also, how did the march go, and do you see, or do you think that some people are inspired by something, and that, like, that you had an experience, or that you talked to someone that actually kind of, like, said that they will change their mind on something?
Well, I certainly spoke with a couple of people who came up and just asked, you know, what's going on here? Who's organizing this? What's this about?
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to fill them in. We were able to fill them in about the refugee family that we were talking about at the event. We distributed lots and lots of leaflets. So, yes, I think it very much was a public awareness raising.
Yes. And do you had a moment where you thought, okay, this is so special, or do you, like, what was your favorite moment during the march?
My favorite moment was watching how excellently these SFU students organized and hosted and just made such a wonderful event happen with discussing difficult topics. It was an excellent networking opportunity. They finished with the Solidarity Choir, which just before the march, which really raised people's spirits and made everybody, you know, feel good and confident about going on the march.
Mm-hmm.
It was my proudest moment was to see that the SFU students, supported by my department, Gender, Sexuality, Women's Studies, and the Women's Centre at SFU,
mm-hmm. Yeah,
managed to deliver such a fantastic event.
Yeah, that's
very proud of them all.
Yeah, that's so true. It was such a wonderful event. I heard only positive things about it. So how can I imagine the day yesterday? So how did you start, and how was, like, the whole experience? So how did it go from the beginning till the end?
Well, we had a sound system on the steps of the Vancouver Art Gallery,
mm-hmm.
which is a very popular place to have public gatherings such as that. We had tours of speakers. and we had the choir, and then we had the actual march. There was a stall where people could make their own banners. There was a stall where people could pick up moose hide pins and make the pledge. There were two Indigenous elders who gave us fantastic welcomes, and you know, they started off the day and then they stayed with us. There were people passing through. There were folks there representing the Dogwood court system with their emperor there. It was just a really nice mix of people and of all ages. I mean, I was there with my friend who's in her mid-80s, and then there were teenagers, and one woman was there with two little girls and taking their photographs.
Mm-hmm.
It was just really nice. A very intergenerational event.
Yeah, nice gathering with all people there. Sounds so good. And do you want to add something here as we almost close out for today, or that you would like to, or that I have missed out asking about?
No, I think you've been fairly thorough. Just remind everybody that tomorrow's the actual event, and I believe there's something happening up at SFU Burnaby. So wherever you are, in whichever community you are, go on to Google tonight and find out where there's an event happening near you. Go and have some, go and mingle and maybe learn something or teach something.
Mm-hmm. Yes, speaking about it is so important, and I was like speaking to a lot of people about different things, and especially about this march. So important that we keep continue talking about it. And also, like, I heard from Jasmine that it's going to happen next year again, and I'm so excited for that to happen here in Vancouver. And yeah,
this isn't the first march that's mm-hmm. happened in Vancouver, but it's the first one in many years. And it was certainly the first one that I've been able to attend, so that was lovely.
Yeah, that was great, and so great that they organized that. And my very last question for today is, why do you think is the International Women's Day so important for our today's society?
Well, I think it's important to recognize the achievements of all women and be very inclusive in our definition of and who we view as women, because there are still even, you know, places in Vancouver that don't provide services to all identified women. So, you know, we've still got some way to go, and it's just events like these just keep things in the public mind.
Yes, and it's only the beginning, and there's so much to do, and especially because this march is also Women's History Month, so this is also a very special event. Yeah, and do you do something for that too? Or are you participating in something?
My whole life is women's history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
what I teach a feminist action history mm-hmm. course for the department. It's a big first year course. So if people want to learn more about things like this, maybe they want to come and look at my class and see if that's something they want to take. But yeah, it's just, for me, this is just something that I try and raise awareness about throughout the year.
Mm-hmm, true. It's March and beyond. And to talk about, like, we talked about International Women's Day. Thank you so much for giving me so many informations. And do you have a singer or a song that you want me to play on air that inspires you and makes you proud to be a woman and gives you strength and power to fight for our women?
Oh, well then, if I have to choose one, I'm going to choose one from the 80s, which was the Eurythmics,
mm-hmm.
and the song is Sisters Are Doing It For Themselves.
Oh, nice. Nice song choice, and I will definitely play that. So stay tuned for that, and thank you so much, Jen, for being here today and for answering me all of these questions. Yeah, I hope I will speak with you again, and thank you so much for being here and talking to me today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Aretha Franklin, Sisters Are Doing It For Themselves. Such a nice song that Jen chose to play for you here on air. And I hope you enjoyed the interview as well, because it was so nice speaking to her. And she's really an inspiring woman because she knows so much, especially on a very unknown field of elder abuse and also gender-based violence. So it's pretty interesting to listen to her research and I talked to her, I think, last year. I can't really remember. I'm not good at time. But it was such a nice interview I did with her live on air, and I hope you enjoyed it too. And I would now like to speak a little bit about what you can do if you didn't participate on Sunday already. I'm so sad that I couldn't attend, but it was such a nice event, and I'm so excited for the next year, because next year they will also host an International Women's Day March from SFU. So the SFU students will organize another march again. So such a cool idea. So nice. And I did some research what you can do on International Women's Day itself. So on March 8th, so today actually. So on Wednesday, March 8th in 2023, it's International Women's Day, and there is an event happening. It's organized by Equal Voice, CVI. It's a multi-partition organization that advocates and supports women and gender diverse candidates at all levels of government. So please join them to raise a glass to women and choose something networking. And it's happening March 8, 2023. And it's happening at the Grand Hotel in Nanaimo from 5 p.m. till 7 p.m. And you can buy tickets on Eventbrite. It's so, so cool. And I also want to talk about what is happening here in SFU, because we are here located at SFU Burnaby Mountain. And yeah, so March 8th, the SFU Departments of Political Science and International Studies will host a presentation. So SFU's Megan McKenzie will host a presentation that explores how the way we talk about military sexual violence shapes wider gender norms and national identity. So the whole event is called How Do We Talk About Military Sexual Violence and Why Does It Matter? So important topic. Also, another event hosted by SFU Ceremonies and Events called Walking the Red Road, Ending Gender-Based Violence in Our Community. You can join them on International Women's Day for a conversation with three incredible Indigenous leaders who will discuss the realities of gender-based violence in communities and teach us about the spiritual pathway to wellness and healing, the Red Road. So interesting. And on March 8 as well, hosted by WICS, called Women in Computer Science, so WYCS, on International Women's Day panel in 2021, the International Women's Day panel, hear stories from women in the tech community about how they're making change in their communities. And I think there's a mistake. I think they meant 2023. So yeah, in 2023 there will be an International Women's Day panel. And there will also, because the whole week is about International Women's Day, so not about the day itself, but also about celebrating women. So the whole week, women are celebrated all around Vancouver and all around campus. So on March 11th, it's hosted by President's Dream Colloquium, a conversation with Susan Stryker. In addition to a Q&A session, Susan Stryker will speak about the development of trans studies, her film and media work, and at the crossroads of Turk and Taylor, her current project about the many types of social justice struggles now transpiring at the site of the former Compton's Cafeteria in San Francisco. Really interesting, and I hope I can join some events too, because especially like the Red Road really is, sounds really interesting to me, because it's also about finding healing and finding your way to wellness and heal yourself. So pretty interesting and very important topic. And due to the International Women's Day, where we celebrate international women and inspiring women, especially because not today, but the whole month is also Women in History Month. So important. And I would like to talk about my own experience, or how can I say it, like a woman that really inspires me. And unfortunately, she passed away on Sunday. So this was like really, really shattering for me. And I would now like to give her a voice, because she cannot speak anymore, but I would like to give her the voice she would wanted to have for International Women's Day, because she's so important to me. She's such a powerful woman, and she really inspired me in the past and still inspires me in the present and the future. So Her name is Ida, and she passed away. She was a very close family member of mine, and she passed away on Sunday, unfortunately. But she had a great life. She helped women all around the world. She traveled the world and went to school in Switzerland and skied to school. She had these amazing stories, and I'm so, so glad that I met her. And I wish that you could meet her, because she is so, so inspiring to me. She was a midwife, and she helped women all around the world to bring children in the world and to support women before and after giving birth. And it's such an important job, still is. I mean, we still need midwives. We still have a payment gap when it comes to midwives. So it's such an important job. And she she was so independent, and especially for a woman in her time. So she grew up during the war, and she experienced so many horrible things, but she still was always happy and always smiling and always in a good mood. And was so sad to me that she was not feeling really well in the last weeks of her life. So I hope she is in a better place now and she's feeling better. And that's why I would like to give her this voice and appreciate her on this important day, because we should think about it. Who's a woman that inspires you the most? And she's probably one of the women that inspire me the most, because she always spoke up for herself and she was always independent. Her husband died, and she couldn't marry the love of her life because she was in love with an English soldier. And also, I talked with Yasmin about her, and she also said, like, you could do a movie about her, and that's totally true. But unfortunately, I'm not a filmmaker, so I would like to use my voice here on the radio and give her the voice she needs. And here I am talking about her. I'm so thankful that I have the opportunity to do that. And it's a memorial for her. And she loved flowers, she loved colorful things. So it's such an important day for me to talk about her. And think about it. Who inspires you the most? And I appreciate it a lot. She had an amazing life. She experienced so many things, but she still was always, even though something bad happened, she was always in a good mood. And I started to bond with her last year again, because we were not in contact for such a long time. And then I started bonding with her again, and so thankful that I had the time with her. And I remembering the last day with her, we went outside and I drove her around with her wheelchair. We were in the sun, and she wore her blue rain jacket, her blue raincoat, and it was such a wonderful day. We ate cake, and she was so excited for me to go out to Canada. So if you don't know me, I'm from Germany, and I came here in November, and I think 5 days before I left Germany behind, I went to her and said goodbye. And I'm so thankful that I had the last day with her, and I will always think about her, especially when it comes to strong, independent women. So I hope you can do that too. Her name was Ida, or is Ida, and I hope you can remember her as well as I did. And thank you, Ida, for giving me these amazing memories. I will always, you will always be in my heart. So that was really deep, and I hope you enjoyed this episode, even though we ended it with such a deep topic. And I hope now that the story of Ida inspires you to think about who is a woman that inspires you, and say thank you to them. Say thank you and show your support. That's all what I can say to you now, because we're almost closing out here for today. Next show is coming up, Democracy Now. Democracy Now. I hope you enjoy this episode of Intravenous, and I hope you're inspired now to go out and show your support and speak up for the woman you love, and give those a voice that don't have a voice. So thank you for listening, and I'm Vivian. This is CJSF 90.1 FM, and now Democracy Now.
This is Bird Note. In Africa, south of the Sahara, there's a bird that roams the countryside in flocks, hordes really, of 2 million or more. They fly in such tightly synchronized masses, they can be mistaken at a distance for clouds of smoke. The birds are red-billed quelea. It's estimated there are 1.5 billion of them, making them the most abundant of all wild birds. The sparrow-sized red-billed quelea, which is in the weaver family, has a stout, seed-cracking bill. The birds are mostly brown, but breeding males have red and black feathered heads. Quelea nest in enormous colonies. A single tree may be hung with hundreds, even thousands, of carefully woven nests. Single colonies can cover hundreds of acres, totaling tens of millions of birds. Unfortunately, their tastes include cultivated crops, like millet. In fact, the increased planting of cereal crops over the last 50 years may have dramatically increased the number of quelea. But setting aside their taste for crops, the sight of a couple million red-billed quelea swirling in unison and creating ever-changing patterns in the air is one of nature's most amazing spectacles. Never miss an episode of Bird Note by subscribing to our podcast. Just search for Bird Note in your podcast app.
International Women's Day is a global day celebrating the social, economic, cultural, and political achievements of women. The day also marks a call to action for accelerating gender parity. Significant activity is witnessed worldwide as groups come together to celebrate women's achievements and rally for women's equality. Marked annually on March 8th, International Women's Day is one of the most important days of the year to call for positive change that advances women globally. The Sexual Violence Support and Prevention Office, SVSPO, offers confidential support, advice, and referrals to SFU and FIC community members, including students, staff, and faculty, who have been impacted by sexual violence and misconduct. The SVSPO is a welcoming place where you can access support without judgment or assumptions. We work from a survivor-centered perspective, using an empowerment and trauma-informed approach that considers individual situations and perspectives. Please reach out. Services are located at the Diamond Alumni Center, room 014 on the lower level. Please reach out by email at sv-support@sfu.ca. That was sv-support@sfu.ca. We'll be right back.